Do we honor God in how we use the financial resources He has given us? We'll talk about that today here on MemCare by Radio. Welcome to another edition of MemCare by Radio. I'm Scott Hollinger, and I'd like to thank you for being with us today. We're continuing our series looking at biblical principles of handling finances. This is an area that many of us could probably use some advice. Well, maybe a lot of advice. At least I know that I do all the time. And I've been working from the material of Dr. Ken Williams of Wycliffe Bible Translators. As we've gone through this series, we've looked at two areas of our life in regard to finances. First, Christ-honoring attitudes. And secondly, Christ-honoring faith. Today, we're going to conclude our series by looking at the third important area in our view of finances, and that is Christ-honoring behavior. According to Dr. Williams, it isn't enough merely to have right attitudes and faith. God expects us to express our attitudes and faith in action. We must be careful to follow the principles of the Bible related to finances. And following are some principles that Dr. Williams notes are very important, and you may wish to add others as you examine the scripture. The first one is pray in faith. And here are eight critical principles of prayer in the area of finances. Be sure to specifically ask Him for what you need and want. Here are eight critical principles of prayer in the area of finances. 1. Be sure to specifically ask Him for what you need and want. Don't complain and feel unhappy about an apparent lack if you haven't followed the principles of prayer. James 4:2 says, "You want something, but don't get it. You do not have because you do not ask God." 2. Make sure your motives are right in asking. James 4:3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on our pleasures." Let God know you only want what is His will. 5. Enlist the help of others to agree with you in prayer. Matthew 18:19 says, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you." I found this one interesting, enlisting the help of others to agree with you in prayer. And yet, there's a lot of common sense to doing that, isn't there? 6. Let God answer in His ways and in His time. In other words, don't restrict Him by trying to tell Him how and when to answer. See Romans chapter 11, verses 33 and 34 for more advice on this one. 7. Be free to ask about anything and everything if you are fulfilling the above principles. And finally, include your children in your prayers. Let them grow up, seeing how you go to the Lord with your needs and find Him faithful. What better gift to give them than precious memories of God faithfully answering in times of struggle? And I found this interesting. Dr. Williams says the statement, "We can't afford it," denies who God is and His gracious provision. Reality is this: either you have the money but want to use it for more important projects, or you don't have the money. If you don't have it, and the appropriate action is to decide if you want to pray that God will provide what you want. As you pray for it, you can remind yourselves as a family that if this is God's will, He will provide in His way and time. If it isn't His best, you don't want it. So when your children want something and you begin to think, "We can't afford it," try a new approach. Let's pray about it. And if it's the Lord's best, He will provide for it. Now, the second key principle is keep your relationship with God as your first priority. The financial part of our life must be considered only in the context of our whole relationship with God. If we have our priorities right, we know God will provide. The third key principle, don't buy on credit. Now, Dr. Williams notes the Bible doesn't say much about this, but look at a couple of scriptures. Romans 13:8 says, "Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law." And Proverbs 22:7 says, "The borrower is servant to the lender." Dr. Williams notes that purchasing a home may be an exception, since a home is a basic need and normally a good investment of the Lord's money. With other items, wait on God's provision rather than using credit, not because it's morally wrong, but for the joy of living a debt-free life. Living free of debt gives God greater lordship over what we buy, as we trust Him to provide for what He knows we need, and it frees us from the tyranny of interest and debt payments. And very quickly, I'll share a couple of experiences. Friends of ours needed a car for their daughter because she's driving to school, and graciously, God provided a car from a person who's a friend of theirs. This person didn't need the car. It was in very good shape, even though it was much older, and they simply gave the car to this family for their daughter to use. In another example, our own family recently purchased a car. And it's certainly not a newer car, but it was in very good shape, and we had saved and saved money, not necessarily for a car, but we had the money to purchase it outright. I got to tell you, it was tough for us to see all of that money leaving our savings account to purchase that car. And yet, we knew that God had provided just that vehicle for our purposes. So I think these are great examples that I could give of major, major items that were needed and where neither family went into debt because God provided. Now, here's the fourth major principle. Don't spend major amounts unless you're certain it's His will. And I guess that goes back to what I was just saying about the two cars that the two families received and purchased. Having money is not sufficient reason to spend it. God may want you to give the money away. Pray. Seek conviction, assurance, and peace from God. Ask God to reveal wrong motives. If you're married, be sure both of you have peace about it. If in doubt, wait. Before you spend the money, ask God if He wants to meet the need in another way. Give Him the opportunity to provide for you in creative ways. Now, I have to admit, this is something that I don't do often enough, where I give Him the opportunity to provide. There have been times when He has done that, and it is such a blessing to see the way that God works. Because Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Here's the fifth major principle: give generously. This principle speaks for itself. Many scriptures emphasize it. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." The sixth major principle: have a regular savings plan, but beware of wrong motives. It's not wrong to save for the future. The Word encourages it. However, be careful of the dangers of wanting to get rich, seeking security through savings and pride. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 through 27 provides several insights into this area. And I'm not going to take the time to read these scriptures, but you can read them for yourselves because it talks about taking care, being a good steward of what God has given you, and then using those resources at the appropriate time in the appropriate way. The seventh major principle is train your children at every opportunity. We have almost limitless opportunities to train our children in godly financial principles. As we bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord, according to Ephesians 6:4, let's be sure that handling money is included. Our example, coupled with verbal instructions over many years, provides powerful training. One of the finest gifts we can leave our children is for them to grow up committed to Christ-honoring attitudes, faith, and behavior regarding finances. The eighth and last major principle is demonstrate your gratitude to God and others. As mentioned before, gratitude must not only be felt, but expressed. Are you genuinely grateful for every blessing, spiritual and material, and do you demonstrate that gratitude both to God and to those whom God is using to bless you? Gratitude is absolutely necessary. Why is an attitude of gratitude essential to financial success in God's sight? God's nature is to respond to a grateful heart. Hundreds of scriptures attest to this, and He has created us in His image to respond as He does to gratitude and thanks. When we express our gratitude to others, it is their nature to respond with a greater motivation to pray, give, and be more involved with us. Our motivation for thanking God and people must not be to get them to respond. It must be an expression of the genuine gratitude we feel. In other words, express gratitude and do so without expecting anything in return. This principle is so important that we must not ignore it. If our needs are not being met in the way we want them to be met, this is one place to look for at least part of the solution. Ask yourself, do I consistently express my thanks to God and to others for every act of kindness shown, for every gift given?